Thank you for all that you're doing at Calvary Chapel, especially those for the Lord, those who have given for the children, for the work that we do in Mexico. Bless them, Lord. Thank you. And Father, for the home that we're about to build, I thank you so much, Lord, for the safe journey for all the team down there, all the way back, Lord. Let them touch many lives. And Lord, for the youth right now who's out at the Kowalski Ranch, just be with them in such a mighty way. Let them have a wonderful time. And Lord, for those that we continue to lift up, Father, for Eleanor and for Pete and for James, Lord, just touching their bodies. And Lord, somehow, some way, this incredible chapter, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, if I've ever needed the Holy Spirit's help, it is truly this second, this very minute. And I yield all my faculties, my mind, my heart, my being to you. Please help me to teach your word faithfully and accurately. And Lord, let me hold nothing back. I praise you and we love you for this day in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all say, amen. Let's turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans this morning. If you're visiting with us or tuning in live for the very first time, we've spent about 14 weeks in this incredible book, and we're doing an in-depth study of the book of Romans, one of the greatest 16 chapters ever written on the face of the planet. And, you know, remember now that the chapters, chapter 6, 7, and 8, they are in one continuous thought in the Greek. There's not like a chapter break that man has put in there. It's one long thought, if you will. And it has to do with the doctrine of sanctification, which is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer to produce holiness and produce Christ's likeness. It's where we're being changed as we progress, okay, from glory to glory to glory into the same image as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, with all that being said, this incredible chapter, as you already know, it begins with no condemnation to the believer. It ends in verse 39 with no separation to the believer. That means forever and ever and ever. And in between these 39 verses, there is not one word of defeat. Amen? And that is our life that we have. The Holy Spirit, which has not been mentioned, or maybe mentioned, I believe, once in Romans so far in the last 7 chapters. Now Paul is going to use the phrase or the wording Holy Spirit 21 times in this chapter, and it's very important. I want to speak to you this morning. Remember last Sunday, we talked about the law of sin. If you were not here for chapter 7, I encourage you to either go online and listen to it, watch it rather, or go to the bookstore, pick you up a CD. It's very important because if you get 7, then you'll get chapter 8. Does that make sense? Okay, with all that being said now, what I'd like to do is we talk about this new law that we have, the law of the Spirit of life. I want you to begin, though, in chapter 7, beginning in verse 23. Let's kind of do a quick review before we get into our text. Paul continues to write here, and he says, I see another law. Remember, that wasn't the law of Moses. Another law in my members. In other words, in his flesh, in his old man. And look what it's doing. It's warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the what? The law of sin. That's what we talked about last Sunday, the law of sin. And look where it's located, the law of sin in our old man, in our nature, if you will, our old nature. It's in our unredeemed flesh. Now, he says here, this other law, which is never at rest in every person, this struggle that goes on, this evil that is always present with us, this law of sin, if you will, it's always warring against the law of every believer's mind. It's always telling us that, you know, you're going to be a slave to that desire. You'll never overcome lying. You'll never overcome being a gossiper. You'll never overcome some addiction or whatever. You know, you're always going to be the prisoner of sin. That is a lie from hell. Amen? And we're going to find out why. And this other law, of course, we learned the name last Sunday. It's called the law of sin. This law of sin that works in our flesh, if you will, that old Adamic nature, that old man, even though sin does no longer have dominion over us, it doesn't rule over us, he tries to come back and rule our lives. And the law of sin, it commands us, it tries to command us, it tries to urge us to do what is against God. In other words, to commit sin. And that's the struggle. That's why Paul cried out in the next verse, he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." In other words, the word wretched carries the idea of struggle, struggling to the point to where you're just totally exhausted, trying to live for God in the flesh, but yet you are always failing. That's what Paul is saying here. "Oh, wretched man that I am," he says this. He says, "Who will deliver, who will rescue me from this body of death," meaning this mass of sin, this old junk, this old man that lives still here trying to hold on to us, you know? In other words, he says, "I'm struggling. I'm struggling because I am chained, if you will, to a foul, dead corpse, an old man. This evil is present with me all the time. It's attacking my mind. It's always trying to get me to do what is wrong." And he says, "Who's going to deliver me?" In other words, I need help. I need help beyond myself because I do not have the strength to do this. Who is going to enable me to live for God? Who's going to enable me to live a life that is pleasing in his sight? Now, with all that being said, remember last Sunday, I said if we stop right there at that verse, we have no answer for the struggle. But again, there's no chapter break. So this verse goes right into chapter 8, verse 1, as we begin our study. Because if we're going to deal with the law of sin, we must have a higher law that supersedes it. Amen? Now let's begin. Romans 8, 1. Paul says, "There is therefore now," right this minute, "forever, there is no condemnation, there is no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus." Now listen carefully. If you must get this, I know you know it, but don't let, because you think you know it all, say, "Well, I've already heard this. I already have it down." No, no, no. We don't have it down. We need to relive this, re-embrace this. We need to rethink this. We need to relearn this. Amen? He says, listen. He says, right now, verse 1 tells us this. Now, believer. Tomorrow, believer. Next year, believer. 10 years, believer. Until the very last day that you close your eyes in death, if you are a genuine, true believer in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. That is our victory that we have in Christ Jesus. In other words, what does that mean? There's no punishment. There's no judicial decision that's going to say, God says, "I condemn you because you blew it. You sinned." No, no condemnation means no punishment for sins that we have committed, that we will commit, or that we ever will commit to the very last day of our life. That doesn't give us a license to sin because we don't want to do that. Amen? But what it does, it says this, "I'm not holding any of that against you." Not any of it at all. Now listen, do you know what God just said? He says, "It is impossible for me, if you are in my Son, Christ Jesus, it is impossible for me," God says, "to find one unrighteous thing in you." Amen. Can you really live with that? Think about that for a moment. Bill, that's just too much for me. No, 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 no. Listen, that's the position of the believer. You see, Our position is absolutely perfect in Christ because he's perfect. Amen? In other words, when we believed in our hearts by faith, God, remember what he did, that judicial decision, which we call justification, just as if I'd never sinned, he declared the believing sinner righteous in his eyes. In other words, he imputed, not imparted, he imputed unto you the spotless, sinless record of another into your account, meaning Jesus Christ. And when God sees you, he sees you now, your position is absolutely perfect and can never be changed before Almighty God. That's justification. Do you understand? And the reason that it's like that, our position is perfect, is because number one, you're in Christ. But number two, Jesus paid for all your sin upon the cross. Amen? See, we're just reviewing what we've already learned there. Now listen, does that mean since we are suffering no condemnation now, never to be punished for our sins, Christ was punished for our sins, if you will. He bore our sins, all of mankind's sins. Now does that mean, though, the absence of God's divine discipline in our life? No. You start blowing it, guess what he's going to do? He's going to punch you. No. No, listen, God chastens, God disciplines, God trains those that he loves. He loves you. If you're a son or daughter, you're out there doing the things that are wrong. You're sitting here today and you've been doing stuff. Listen, he knows. You can't get away from the Father. You've heard that. You remember the movie Father Knows Best? He knows best. He is watching. He knows everything, loved one. But listen to me now. This is so important this morning. If you don't truly believe the divine truth, the divine fact in verse 1, if you don't believe that, you've just removed your incredible, unbelievable foundation, and you're going to stifle all of your spiritual progress in Christ. Does that make sense? So this is something you have to believe this. And you say, well, Bill, I don't get it, because I struggle. Of course you do. There's a law in you, the law of sin. There's evil, like we learned last week, present in us. Do we struggle? Yes. And we know we hear, go ahead and judge that person. Go ahead and tell that lie. Go ahead and look with lust. No, wait a minute. If that does occur, listen, yes, you struggle. But when you do struggle, you do so without condemnation. You say, well, Bill, I failed. I sinned. Yes. And you know what happens when you do those things? You do not break sonship or daughtership. You break fellowship. Okay? You follow me? And that means this. I sinned, Lord. I failed. I have fallen. I went to the pig pen. I shouldn't have been there. I don't know why I did it. And you know what? There is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you run to the blood of Jesus. You run to the throne of grace and you say, oh Lord, I've sinned, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The Bible says that we have an advocate, an advocate, an attorney. That's our Lord. He's never lost a case in heaven. When, in other words, when the accuser says, look what Bill has done, Jesus says, yes, and I paid for it. I paid for it. I paid for everything that he would ever do wrong, and now he is in me, and no one can ever take him out of my hands. Do you understand? This chapter is so incredible. It says that there is no condemnation, no punishment, no sentencing, if you will, to those that are in Christ Jesus. Now, that is the believer's position in Christ. Our walk is different. Our position is perfect, but our walk, which is called sanctification, is progressive. Amen? In other words, from glory to glory to glory, we're changed into Christ's likeness, so and so forth. So in order for a true believer to lose his perfect standing before Almighty God, he has to become a Lutheran. Now, I just threw that out because I had an email, Bill, lay off the Baptist, okay? We're coming after you. Now, I love the Baptist. I love everybody. I just use their denominations. I use it as for a joke. No. Now, listen. In order for us to lose, a true believer, there's nothing wrong with those denominations. I'm not being critical. No. In order for us to lose our perfect standing before God, the only way that can happen is for Jesus, our Lord, to lose his perfect standing before God. Because it's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness that has been imputed to us, loved one. Oh, I'm so thankful. In other words, you remember how we studied, about that we've been placed in a brand new environment because we have been baptized, we've been baptized with him. Remember that? And I talked about the pickle. You know what I'm saying? You dip the pickle in the bapto, then you have to baptize the pickle, and you come out of the vinegar, and what are you? A pickle. No, you're a cucumber, right? Is that correct? No, you put the pickle in and you come out a cucumber. Is that correct? No. Oh, what do you put in? Cucumber. The cucumber. No, you don't know. You can't remember what I said, but I can tell you this. You'll never be a pickle again. Does that make sense? Do you understand? You're in Christ now. You're immersed into him. In other words, the believer's position in Christ. Listen to me. Listen now. If it's not perfect, then Romans 8:1 is a lie. And if a true, genuine believer in Christ, I'm not talking about their faults and their mistakes and their sins. We all have blown it. The Bible says that a perfect man sins 7 times a day. Kevin's already sinned 6. You understand? No. If our position is not perfect, number one, Romans 8:1 is not true. Jesus' death was meaningless. And if any true believer who has been placed in a perfect standing of position before God the Father because he's in Christ is ever cast into hell, the Bible is not true. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about a true, genuine believer. You know, I say, oh, Lord, I don't know how you feel about that, but I thank God. Now, some of you are sitting there and you're going, now, Bill, you read Romans 8:1, but you didn't read all of it. You see, you're leaving off the most important parts. Yeah, there's no condemnation, but the condemnation is to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, let me ask you a question. I want you to really get this cleared up. And, you know, if you have a center column reference in your Bible, and if you'll look at that verse, you'll probably have a little 1 or an A or a B or whatever, and it'll tell you to go to the middle of your center column reference, and what you're going to find there is that this has been omitted in the best manuscripts or the NU. Do you see that? Does anybody have that? Okay, 3 of you. That means you probably don't have a Bible. Okay, now listen. You study that all the way out. It's not in the earliest, in the some of the best manuscripts. That's why it's omitted. And you say, well, Bill, why is omitted? It's omitted because then it places a condition upon the believer and not upon God who saves us. Are you understanding? In other words, listen, this is so important. This verse ends with this, in Christ Jesus. Why? No condemnation is not based upon the believer's conduct. Do you understand that? No, that you mean I can live any way? No, you can't. If you believe that, you're lost. Yes. No, you can't believe any way you want. You've been changed. Yes. What that means, now listen again, it's not based upon the believer's conduct, but it's based upon the believer's position. We are now in Christ. He's the only one that could save us. Do we sin? Yes. Do we fail? Gosh, I wish we didn't. But therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who do. Why? Jesus paid it all. He paid all of our sin. Loved one, listen, in Adam we were condemned, but in Christ there is no condemnation. We're in him now, the perfect one. Amen? Now, we must have a higher law than the law of sin. And there it is in verse 2. Watch this now. This is so vital. It goes, for the law of the Spirit of life. You need to remember that forever. The law of the Spirit of life only found one place. In Christ Jesus, look what it has done, past tense, has made me what? Free. That word free there means a once and for all act of freedom has made me free from what? The law of sin and death. Do you see what I'm saying? It supersedes it. We have a higher law now. Yes, it's the old law of sin is still trying to work in our bodies. There's no doubt about it. But the law of the Spirit of life. Now listen very carefully. This is so important that we get this. The 21st century church, we are in trouble. This is a vital word to us this morning. The law of the Spirit of life is this. It's where or when the Holy Spirit of God, he brings to the believer the very life of Christ Jesus into us. Do you understand that? The very life of Christ. Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Are you following me? He brings it, the Lord, the perfect one, right into our hearts. The one who pleased the Father. Did Jesus always please the Father? Okay, now if you're in Christ, listen to me now, your position, if you're in Christ, since Jesus, everything he did pleased the Father, You've pleased the Father. Did Jesus keep the law perfectly? Yes, he's the only one who ever did. But since you are now in Christ Jesus and he lives in us, the law of the Spirit of life, eternal life, everlasting life, living life now, listen, we've kept the law. Do you understand that? I say, oh, Jesus. Now, wait a minute. We are in the one who never, ever sinned. Yes. And now that we are in him, our position, guess what? That means that we, when God looks at us, there is no condemnation. Why? Well, he sees us in Christ as if we have never sinned. Are you understanding that? The word justification, remember, just as if I had never, ever, ever, ever sinned. That is the believer's position. Sanctification is the believer's practice that we're walking out in our life. Totally different, okay? Now, with all that being said, we have the very life. I mean, think about this. This is not some phantom or whatever. This is Jesus, our Lord. The very life of Christ is in me. What did Jesus tell the disciples when he was going away? They all got started getting upset. Sorrow had filled their heart. And he looked at Jesus and said, listen, in John 14, he said, listen, I'm not going to leave you. He said, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you orphans. And then Jesus said, I will come back to you. How did Jesus come back to them? The Holy Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life. Jesus said, I will send you another me. The word another in Greek there where he was speaking that in John means another just like me. That's exactly what he's done, loved one. The Bible says in John, 1 John 4:9, it tells us that we might live through Christ. Live because he lives in us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:11, it says that the life of Jesus, it may be also manifested in our mortal flesh, in our bodies. Peter cries out and says, listen, we are partakers of the divine nature. 1 John 2:6 says, whoever abides in him, meaning Christ, whoever lives in him, dwells in him, he lives in us, should walk even as he also walked on this earth. No wonder Paul cried out in Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives in me. Jesus lives in us. That is the law of the Spirit of life. You have a new law. You have a higher law working in you, and it is a supernatural law and a supernatural life. And yes, evil is present with me, my old, unredeemed, stinking flesh. Yes, and the law of sin is still there. But I have something better. I have the greatest, most powerful law in all of the universe. I have the new law working in me now. I have the law of the Spirit of life working in me. Remember last Sunday when I gave you that example about, you know, my eyes, for example? You know, I said, you know, I wear contacts. And if I took the contacts off, well, I would not be able to see you, okay? Which is normal for a 45-year-old man. So, are you going to laugh? You've laughed for the last 25 years. You're going to keep laughing at that joke. Somebody throw some stones, okay? No, I'm teasing. No, listen. So what do you do? I went to the doctor, and he said, Bill, you know, you have a law in your members that says that your eyesight is now dimming. You can't see anything anymore. But I have a new law, Bill. Here it is. Put on these glasses. It will overcome the old law. And you know what? Even though the old law is still in my members, I don't ever think about the old law anymore. Do you understand? I mean, I go to sleep sometimes in my contacts because I think that my eyes are just perfect now. Does that make sense? So and the new law is working in me. Why? It has overcome the old law. Yes, the law of sin is still here, but I don't have to think about it. I don't have to dwell upon it. I don't even have to acknowledge it. Why? Sin shall not have dominion. It'll not rule. It'll not be my Lord. It'll not reign over me. That is a fact. It's not a feeling that we uphold, Romans 6:14, in our hearts. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, you know, it's very important now as we look at verse 3. It says, for what the law could not do, or literally what it was impossible for the law to do in the reason, in that it was weak through the flesh. The word of God, God's law, the Ten Commandments, has never been weak. We learned last Sunday it's holy, it's just, and good. The problem is me, amen? I could never, ever keep the law, and the law could never do something. The law could never give power, in other words, change my sinful nature. The law could never make me righteous. The law could never remove my sin. The law was powerless to put the deeds of the flesh to death. It could not do it. So the thing that the law could not do under this new law that we're operating in now as a believer, what the old law couldn't do, God did. Watch what he did. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. That doesn't mean Jesus was a sinner. It means he came as a human being into this earth, virgin born like we were, apart from sin. He never sinned. And why did he come? On account of sin. That means he came as a sin offering into this world. John the Baptist said in John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. And he says, watch now, watch what God did. He condemned sin where? In the flesh. You know what that means? That was a judicial decision by Almighty God. He says, I'm going to execute sin in the flesh for us. Jesus died on the cross. He took our sin. And when he did that, he condemned our sin forever and ever and ever and ever. Matter of fact, if you try to look for your sin, you can't find it, because the Bible says our sin is now where? As far as the east is from the west. It's buried, loved one. It is gone. It can never be found again. And God and his divine ability, that divine forgetfulness, says, I'll never remember your sin ever, ever again. He condemned sin. He doomed it. And how? God laid all of our sin upon Christ, the one who knew no sin. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:21? He, meaning God, made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now listen to me. Please believe what I'm about to tell you. You know, I fear today, and I say this in tenderness. I love you guys. You know I love you. But listen, Christians today, they're living like there is no law. They believe they can live together without marriage. They can believe they can do anything they want. That's not true. They're abusing God's grace. Amen? Now listen to me. This law is so important, this higher law. You see, the law of the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit, is now able in the believer to do the impossible. Do you know what I mean? The impossible. In other words, he now produces in us a holy life in weak and sinful flesh. Do you understand? The law of sin is in me. The law of evil is present with me. And he says, Bill, I have a higher law. Jesus, the higher law, the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit, he comes into our life. He is now the master. Amen. Everything starts changing. That the righteous requirement of the law, that life of holiness, it says in verse 4, might be fulfilled, watch this now, not by us, but in us by the Holy Spirit. And how? Who do not walk, that habitual lifestyle of sin, who do not walk according to the flesh, the old law of sin, but according to the Spirit. There are only two ways a person can walk this planet. You're either going to walk in the flesh, you're lost, or you're going to walk in the Spirit of life, and that means that you're born from again. To walk in the flesh leads to death. To walk in the Spirit leads to life. There are no other options. That's it. Amen? That's all of it. Now listen, there is nothing, absolutely nothing more vital than to walk in the Spirit. Well, Bill, I pray in tongues. Okay, well, do you do anything with that? Well, I mean, I pray in tongues. Okay, well, tell me, do you ever witness to the lost? You know, speaking in tongues is one of the most beautiful gifts in the Bible and one of the most abused. But, loved one, the purpose of Pentecost, the endowment of power, was to make you a witness to all the ends of the earth. Yeah. Do you understand? Yes. You know, and people say, well, I've arrived, I had an upper room experience. Well, okay, are you doing anything with it?
Yes.
Are you moving on with God? Are you being used by God? Do you understand? See, in other words, it is vital. There's nothing more important than walking, to walk in the Spirit for the Christian. And walk is something that we do. To walk implies progress. To walk means that you are walking in agreement with someone, the Holy Spirit of God. Amos 3:3, how can two walk together if they're not in agreement? You can't do it. So see, the only way to walk with the Holy Spirit, the only way to be led by the Spirit, is for you to walk in the Spirit, habitually being dominated by the Spirit of God. You know, my question is that what is it today in this 21st century that so many believers, so many Christians, so many church boards even, leaders in the church, all kinds of believers, why is it that they feel that they have the liberty to live their entire life without any dependence upon the Holy Spirit of God? We can't make it without the Holy Spirit. We can't make it without the law of the Spirit of life. Do you understand? It's an impossibility. Galatians 5:25 says, if you live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. And again, walk is a process. It's a learning process. You have to learn how to walk in the Spirit. You have to learn His voice. You have to know when He says no and so forth. And the secret to all victory is walking in that new law. The power of another, the power of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification, loved one, walking in the Spirit. Sanctification is walking out your perfect position. You follow me? You're walking it out by putting it into practice, which turns into Christ-likeness. Now, how do you kind of know if you're walking in the Spirit? We're going to talk about that, more of that next week, but look at verse 5. For, or literally, because those who live, or we could say who are habitually dominated according to the flesh, the old law of sin, that evil that's present with them, the flesh, look what they do. They set their minds, their wills, their thoughts, their emotions, if you will, they set their minds on the things of the what? The flesh, the world, the flesh, the devil, the old man, this life, this world that's passing away and all the lust that's in it. It says the things of the flesh. But those who are habitually dominated or live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The word mind there means to strive after, to go after, to focus upon. Listen, is it difficult to know who's walking in the Spirit and who's walking in the flesh? No, it's not difficult at all, is it? The Bible makes it very clear. The things of the flesh, Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh, meaning those outward activities of the flesh, are evident. They're obvious. People, you can see it, and here they come. It says adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. It goes on and on and on. He says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the times past, listen carefully, those who practice those things, though not just, well, I slipped up. Not that, oh, Lord, I failed. No, those who practice an ongoing, habitual lifestyle of such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the things of the flesh. How about the things of the mind of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now listen to me. The mindset of the Spirit, the mindset of the Spirit, it doesn't remove us from this life that we're in. Okay? It doesn't do that at all. But it puts you right in the fullness of life. Fullness of life, but so with a different mindset. That's why it says in Colossians 3:1, 3:2, right there in that area, it says what? Set your minds, or your mind on things which are above, where Christ is. It tells us in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:8 tells us to meditate, to chew on, to think about certain things. Keep your mind stayed upon them. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:1-2 about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, and then it tells for us to do something to our mind. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your minds. You see, sanctification is a process. It ties itself right to the Word of God. And say, Lord, this is what you said to do. We need to do this. Now look what happens if your mind is carnal in verse 6. For to be carnally minded is life, is death. Man, it's death, loved one. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace, now and forever. The moment that you come to Christ Jesus, Romans 5:1, you remember what it says? We now have peace with God. That peace is not a feeling. It is a divine fact, meaning that you have peace with God and never be taken away forever and ever and ever and ever. We have that peace now and forever. But when it talks about being carnally minded and being spiritually minded, it's not talking about two different kinds of Christians. A carnal Christian, no. And the other, no. A mature Christian, it's not talking about that. It's talking about those that are lost and those that are saved. You see, when it says carnal mind, that word literally means the mind of the flesh, which means a person who is ongoing, constantly dominated by the law of sin. They live for sin and they don't even know it. To be spiritually minded is literally a mind that is possessed by the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, and dominated by the Spirit. And that right there is the law of the life, the law of the Holy Spirit in life. That's what it is. That's what's operating in us. Look at verse 7 now. Because the carnal mind is what? Enmity. It's hatred. Literally, that word could read it this way. For the carnal mind is deep-rooted hatred against whom? Think about that. That fleshly mind. That's what the word carnal means, fleshly. Now, that fleshly mind is hatred toward God. Why? Well, it's not subject to the law of God. And watch this. It can never be. Look at that word. Nor indeed can it be. The mind of the flesh, the carnal mind, it cannot, it is impossible for it to submit to the will of God. You know why? Because a natural man doesn't discern the things of the Spirit. You have to be born from above. And the natural man is still operating under the law of sin, which means they are powerless to overcome sin in their life. And so God says, oh no, you're an enemy. You're an enemy and you'll never submit to me. Now look at Romans 8:8. It says, so then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Isn't that sad? That's God's announcement to all mankind. He says, you know what? It's impossible. You'll never, ever, ever please me because you're outside of Christ. So it'll be impossible. Well, God, I'm a good person. Well, you may be a good person, but I'm still not pleased with you because you still have your old sin nature. You understand? You haven't been redeemed. You haven't been purchased. You haven't been washed. You haven't been justified. And you certainly haven't been sanctified. You don't have a chance unless you come to Christ. Those who live under the law of sin, listen, they are powerless to defeat sin in their life. You can't do it. You have to have a new law in order to do that. Look at verse 9. But you are not in, that's a very important word, in the flesh. You know, we're no longer under that, but in the Spirit. Now, well, look what he says. If indeed the Spirit, that's that new law, okay, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that's that new law, he is what? In other words, you don't belong to God. That word dwell means to inhabit, it means to live with, it means that the Holy Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life, literally takes up residence in your heart, in your being. In other words, he's living in his very own home, which is the purchased possession, which is the believer. Now listen, we have that new law now. It's producing holiness in our life. It's producing fruit to God in our life. You know, a person may call themselves a Baptist, a Lutheran, a Catholic, a Calvary Chapel, whatever you want to. You may serve in the church. You may sing in the church. You may give money to the church. You know, you might even teach a Sunday school class. But loved one, listen to me. If you do not have the law of the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ in your life, in your heart, you don't belong to God. You're not saved. You are lost. You are dead in trespasses, in sins. You know, Christian, listen to me. If you call yourself Christian, if you don't, and I'm not producing guilt right now, I'm talking to you. You know, were we created for good works? Okay, all right. The evidence of a justified life is works. In other words, if you're changed, you're going to do something. Amen? Okay, now listen. If you call yourself a believer and you do not have any desire to serve God, if you don't have any desire to really live with God, if you really don't have any desire to be around the people of God, then you better take a self-examination. You really need to check out your heart. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, he says, examine yourselves. That word means to test, to prove, to see if something is genuine or not. He says, examine yourselves as to whether or not you're in the faith. He says, test yourselves. He says, do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? And if not, he says, unless you are disqualified, which means it's possible to fail the test. You see, what does that mean? Bill, all of us, if we're not living for the Lord and we call ourselves believers, then you know what we have to do? We should turn the searchlight on our own heart and say, man, I need to check myself out. If the Holy Spirit, if the new law is living in me and in you, listen to me now, there will be change in your life. If there is no change, there is a problem. God does not justify those that he doesn't sanctify. Meaning that work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, where you're changed from year after year after year, you're growing in Christ's likeness. Old things are passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new. If there's not a change, you better go check out your heart. That's why he says in verse 10, and if Christ is in you, and thank God he is, amen? He says, oh, your body is dead. Why is it dead? This flesh, this old thing that we live in is dead. Why? Because of what? Sin, or on account of sin. Why? Because in Adam, all die. Here, this old junk is going to go back from the earth from which it was made. Now watch this. But the Spirit of life, because of righteousness, but if the Spirit of him who raised Christ or raised Jesus from the dead lives, abides, dwells, inhabits in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. That word should probably be because, not through. Because his Spirit who dwells in you. Not a one-time visit, loved one. The Spirit who dwells in you permanently, forever and ever and ever and ever. Listen, right now, the law of the Spirit of life. Here it is. I have been resurrected spiritually. I'm a new man in Christ. I'm walking in a newness of life, just like you are. Amen? But it also is referring to the future day, that physical resurrection, when we get our new bodies, 1 John 3:2, when we see him, our Lord, it says we will be like him. Oh, man, what a glorious, wonderful day that's going to be. Listen, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you right now. That we have no excuse, do we? Come on, we have no excuse. I look and I say, dear God, the most important, most vital thing that a believer needs. That's no wonder Paul cried out in 1 Corinthians 3:16. He says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit lives, the Holy Spirit dwells in you? The Holy Spirit who's present right now. The Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, is along beside of us. And then the endowment of power of the upper room, Acts chapter 2, where now he comes upon us to endue us with power from upon high, to serve him, to go into all the world. Amen. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to be honest with your own hearts. When you wake up in the morning, are you aware of his presence? Are you conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God? I'm not beating you, I'm loving you right now. Do you practice awareness and say, I'm aware. I know you're right here. I know that the spirit of life, of the spirit is working in me. I know that you see me. I know that you love me. Romans 15:30, the love of the spirit, he loves me. I know that he looks over me as I slumber. I know that he looks over me when I awake. I know that he follows me to work here at the office. I know that he's beside me right now. Are you conscious of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God dwelling in you? Do you know him, gnosko, experience him? Do you have koinonia, which means fellowship? Do you have intimacy? Does he talk to you and you talk to him? Does he light up every page of the Bible because he's called the Spirit of Truth and leads us into all truth? When you studied out the known will of God and you can't find your answer because it's the unknown will of God for your life, do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit to where he speaks to you? He tells you, no, don't go there. Don't go to that school. Don't marry that man. Don't marry that woman. Don't invest in that. Don't do that. Don't. Do you have the law of the Spirit of life? The greatest law in all of the world, in all of the universe, working in you. You say, Bill, you're challenging me. You're provoking me. I'm loving you. I'm telling you that we have something that no religion can offer. Do you understand? We have the true living God dwelling in us. Question, are you dependent upon him? Are you dependent upon the law of the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit of God? Are you trying to accomplish everything in your own effort in your life, your own prayer time? You can't pray without the Spirit of God. You know, it's mechanical. It's dead. Come on. I mean, I'm 66 years old, loved one. I've been praying a long time. I know when my prayers are dead and when they're alive. I know when it's Bill, and I know when it's the Spirit praying through me. Amen? And I want the Spirit. I'm sick of me, okay? Yes. You know what I do? I'm not saying you should do this, but I have an old Puritan, a book of prayer. Every morning, I turn to one of those prayers, and I pray it. Now, they say, Bill, is that like mechanical praying? No, it's a different prayer every morning. But it so moves me, and it so touches me, and I say, Lord, I want to be like that person that prayed like that. I want to search my heart, and I want that intimate relationship like they had with you. And the only way to have that is the Spirit of God. The law of the Spirit of life. Are you dependent upon him? Or are you trying to do, again, everything in the power of your own flesh? What did Paul tell the Galatians, the church in Galatia, in Galatians 3:3? He cried out and he said, listen, are you so foolish? He says, having started your life, your walk, your new birth, having begun in the Spirit, meaning the law of the Spirit of life, having begun the Spirit, are you now trying to complete and accomplish your walk by the flesh? He says, why are you so foolish? He said, man, you can't, what God started by the Spirit in you, you can't complete it in the flesh. You don't have it at all. We have to have that new law, the law of the Spirit of life. Loved one, listen to me now. You know, the Holy Spirit today in the church, you know, the Holy Spirit in the 21st century church here and many other churches, every church. It's almost like we treat the Holy Spirit as a doctrine to be learned instead of a person to know. The Holy Spirit is not an essence. It's not a force. It's not a language. It's not an it. He's God. Do you understand? He's real. He's a person. And oh, how we need that in our lives. He is the divine helper of the church. He is the divine helper of the believer. Listen, we have a new law. This new law that's living in us right now. It's the law of the life of the Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't do that. Don't grieve, vex, or sadden the Holy Spirit of God. Don't do those things. Oh, no, listen. Listen to me now. If you cut yourself off from the law of the Spirit of life, you just cut yourself off, man. I mean, from living. You know what's going to happen when you do that? When you're not relying and depending on and letting the Holy Spirit work in you? Listen, you know what? You lose your sense of direction. You lose your moral compass. Lord, I don't know which way to go. I'm trying to figure out which way to go. The reason you don't know which way to go is because you're not depending on the law of the Spirit of life. He knows where you need to go. He knows your next step. He knows the next words that need to come out of your mouth. He knows the person you're going to run into this afternoon. He knows who you're going to meet when you go to Luby's to eat. Do you understand what I'm saying? He knows everything. He knows it all. He knows your next step. And you know what? If you want true direction, you better get with the one who knows how to get you there. That's why the Holy Spirit is so why is it that we acknowledge God the Father? We acknowledge God the Son. But we so often don't respect or even acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Paul closed out the second letter that he wrote to the church at Corinth. What did he say? He says, may the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And then he said something else. See, we have the first part. We have the first two down. The love of God, the grace. And he said, and may the fellowship, the koinonia, the intimacy, the ongoing knowing one another, conversation, closeness, may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Listen, I look and I say, oh God, that's what we need. I don't want to be without direction. And see, when we cut off the spirit of the law of the Spirit of life, you know what? Our destiny, we go, well, Lord, I don't know what my destiny is. Well, God does. He knows what he's called. Well, I don't know what my purpose in life is. God does. And the only way to find that is to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, not the flesh. What did Jesus tell us in John 6:33? He said this. He said that the Spirit, he said the Spirit is who gives life, but the flesh profiteth nothing. Nothing. That you can't please God in the flesh. You can only please God in the power of another. You say, Bill, you're preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to my people that I love. I'm preaching to the sheep that are in God's pasture. And I'm telling you, we got a problem, and we need to get back to the reality. Because I'm going to tell you, everything in this life, no matter how glorious, it will one day leave you helpless and powerless. Why? Because this world is passing away and all the lust of it, but he who do the will of the Father abideth forever and ever and ever. It's all about the Holy Spirit. Listen to me now. Without the law of the Spirit in working in our life, the Spirit of life, we cannot produce on our own 1 ounce of Christ likeness in our life. There's no way. You see, the Holy Spirit came from heaven. The fruit of the Spirit is from heaven. You can't go down here on earth and say, I'd like to have the fruit of the Spirit of love. Can I buy 10 pounds? No, you have to be born again to get that. Amen. We have supernatural love and supernatural joy and supernatural peace. Why? It's the law of the Spirit of life that is working in each of us. Now, I know you're saying, Bill, I got to go home. You're nearly there. I'm looking at our nation, and I'm looking at us. Listen to me. There is no such thing as Christianity without the Holy Spirit. None. If we, which the church has removed, it seems, the Holy Spirit today, we have programs, we have money, we have this, like Peter said, but I'd like to be like Peter. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, amen? Amen. We don't have much of that going on, but we have the money. Not this church, but. Do you know it cost $7,000 to replace the AC unit last week? Aren't you glad I didn't complain? Christianity without the Holy Spirit is nothing more than a religion. That means we're nothing more than, we might as well, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam. Do you understand? We're the only religion that where God imparts power to live the life. No other religion on earth does that or has ever done that. Only Christianity. You know what I did this morning, and I'm going to close with this, and I don't know how it's going to touch you, but I tell you, I sat down and, early this morning, 4:30 this morning. I was sitting there, 4:30, you get it? I wanted you to know how early I got up. Maybe it'll help you tithe. And I went through and I'd been praying and I'm going, oh God, there has to be something happen in our nation, in the churches today. And here's what I said about myself. If it's for you, good. But I said this, I cannot survive without the law of the Spirit of life. I said, he is the greatest source of wisdom in all of creation. Do you understand? God knows everything. The Holy Spirit knows everything. He's everywhere. He sees everything. He's all powerful, and he's for me. You understand? I go, oh God. Listen, without the law of the Spirit of life, listen carefully. I can't overcome sin. I can't pray. I can't forgive. I can't understand the Bible. I can't love. I can't exhibit Christ's character of love. I can't even be a witness to all the earth. I can't be transformed into the same image of my Savior. I can't live a life pleasing to God. That means if without the law of the Spirit of life, I can't be sealed. I can't be saved. Heaven is not my home. I'm powerless. There's no transformation. I don't have true discernment. I can't put to death the deeds of the flesh. I can't survive without the law of the Spirit of life. Do you understand? I need to walk in that. It's available for us right this minute. Listen, we live in a culture, and I know it's time. We live in a culture. We're fast seeing our nation disintegrate right before our very eyes. And as I've been saying the last several weeks, our nation has been transformed into the culture of Cain. There's nothing but murder day in and day out. Capturing little children, killing little children, raping little children, shooting people at will. That's the nation that we live in. Listen to me. The church is supposed to be the light of the world. You know, and here's the deal. You know, listen, we are living in an age right now in the 21st century. We're living in the age of Christianity because of the churches. It's their fault. We're living in the age of Christianity without the Holy Spirit. Without the law of the Spirit of life, investing in this program and this hype and that hype. Listen, I need nothing but the law of the Spirit of life. With that, I can jump over the wall. With that, I can walk on water. With that, you can heal the sick. Do you understand what I'm saying? With that, with all those things, you know what? You have that peace, that joy that's manifested in your life. Don't you think that we should be praying it is time for the light of the world to rise up and walk in the new law that God has given us? If you don't know Christ, listen to me. You're going to die one day, and then it'll be too late. Don't use fear to motivate me. I'm not trying to use fear. You never know. Do you understand me? You never know when that day comes. If you're not in Christ, that means you're in Adam. The Bible says this, that the wages of sin is death, meaning eternal separation from God, but the gift of God through Christ Jesus is eternal life. Jesus paid for your sin. Why would you want to pay for it all eternity when you don't have to? If you don't know Christ, those in the overflow area, those that are listening live, those that are present, pray this prayer with me right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Say, Father, I come to you today in the mighty name of Jesus. I want him to be my Lord. I want him to save me. Because he died for me, because he loves me, because he wants me, because he took my sin. So right now, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart, Jesus is Lord. and you raised him from the dead. Be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Come live in my heart. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Our heads are bowed, no one looking around. If you prayed that prayer, you don't have to come down here, but make one step of faith by simply saying, Bill, yes, I prayed that prayer. Lift your hand to God and put it right back down. No one's going to call upon you. No one's going to approach you. But if that's you, lift it high immediately. God bless you, sir. I see that. Anyone? God bless you. God bless you back there. Yes. Anyone else? Say, Bill, that's me. Those that lifted your hands, let's look up now. Those that lifted your hands, we're going to close out with a song. And there's a booklet waiting for you down here called Welcome to the Family of God. It's free. Just come and get it. No one's going to question you or whatnot. Take it home and read it. If you prayed that prayer with me, if you're listening live, you prayed that, just email me at info@loveneverfails.com. Send me your address. That booklet will be mailed out in the morning. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. As always, you know, if you need prayer, there'll be wonderful men and women here who love you that'll be praying for you. I pray you have an awesome week. I pray that you go back and think about this word today. Amen. It's just not another sermon. This is manna, living manna from heaven for all of us. Let that law of the Spirit of life dominate our lives. In Jesus' name. I pray you have a wonderful week. God bless you. Let's sing.